Good evening. I would, as we start tonight, I would be remiss if I didn't say some thank yous. So I definitely have to do that. And I'll tell you what, it's been a wonderful week. And we were leaving the premises of David and Brenda's beautiful home and whatnot. And Peggy, she was walking out. And as we was getting in the vehicle, she said, "You know, this week has been so beautiful." And then she said, "Just imagine how heaven's going to be." And you think about that. And I thought about what she said. I was thinking to myself, you know, that's exactly right. It has. It's just, you know, it's been really, really good. And a lot of you have made us, Jordan and I, feel right at home. And we thank you very much. And it means the world to us to meet brethren, different places. And we are very, very thankful. But I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what, oh my goodness, what a full week. And, I got a list of things I just got to tell you. And you're going to say, you're probably, after I get done saying this, you're going to probably go and you husbands are going to say, "You know what, honey, I'm going to change my profession. I'm going to be a preacher, all right? I'm going to get into this." I mean, if these guys, if they eat like this, I mean, this is the ticket. You know, I want to punch that, all right? It's not always this way, so I don't want to extrapolate too much, but I tell you, it's a good thing, all right? It's a good thing. This all started last Saturday. We and Jordan, we pulled in, and Brian and Peggy and June, and what can I tell them? They opened up their house to me, and I tell you, it's been great, Brian. Me and Brian, we're friends. We've been friends for a while, and got to see him when he was up in Cleveland, Ohio. And so it's just, it goes back. We have done some things together, but they've always been very good to us. And you got a good man here, a good lady here, and June, what a delight. She is such a delight. And I mean, I hate it because she likes me so much. And then we got Jordan, you know. And Jordan is just, I mean, she's just her and Jordan. I can't separate them. I mean, it's like, "June, I'm in the room too, all right? I'm over here, June." But anyway, they have been tremendous. They took us out to eat at a beautiful restaurant. And let me tell you the pool. And I got to be careful here what I'm about to say. We're sitting here and... So Peggy asked the waitress or waiter, "Hey, can you turn on the football game?" Okay, I was thinking, I got to be careful, Dave. It wasn't Virginia Tech either, all right? But anyway, and I wish you wanted to turn it on after I saw the score, okay? Because it just made it. But anyway, we had such a nice time. Well, of course, a lot of you, Sunday morning came, and after services, we got to get together to a potluck over at their beautiful house, and a lot of you came, a drove of people came there, and we just had a wonderful time. I mean, oh, wow. And then here comes Monday, and George and Pamela, I tell you, again, the restaurant that we went to, right, it was, and a lot of us, and it was just really nice. Thank you. It means so much. I can't express the words how I need to express the words. You're sitting back there saying, "Yeah, we understand that, okay?" But that's all right. We're going to jump in here in a minute. But and then Tuesday came, and Tommy and Patricia, they had us over to their beautiful home, and another, just a fine, fine meal. Tommy, you all, thank you. You don't know, and you know, it means, Jordan said, "Boy, Daddy, I mean, it's just so nice that these people have been so nice." And it is. It really is. Wednesday, it's just don't quit. I mean, last night we got to go be with Carson and Carol, and Pat was with us, and we had a great time. It was really nice and beautiful. And I'm telling you, you're making it hard on me to get up here and preach the gospel. I tell you, it's just like, whoo, you gotta see me when I'm not full, okay? Okay, whoa, watch out, okay? So maybe that's what you're trying to do. Fill me up so I'll stay in one place. I don't know, you know, but it was just, you know, it's been very, very kind, and it's been beautiful. Well, today, I can't even tell you about today. I mean, I don't think we stopped eating, you know. So now we're gonna eat spiritually here in a second. You notice I haven't said whatnot, okay? Okay. So anyway, it'll come. But Luetta. I didn't know about the halfway house, okay? And she took us over there and some family and just the history there. I mean, just think that now you have George Washington and all these great leaders that's been there. And before I was leaving, they was putting Danny Allen. I mean, I'm honored. I mean, I'm just honored. I mean, to eat where George Washington ate, I mean, unbelievable. Luetta, it was so kind. And I mean that. Thank you so much. Thank you. And then David and Brenda tonight. You know, so what do you say? But if I did not say thank you, that's what you shouldn't do. So I really do mean it. You see, back in the first century, ladies and gentlemen, a while back, when the church began, they had something in common. They had something like no other group of people on this earth had in common. And it was love. That they was willing to put their life in front of yours and share. And we say, oh, no, it wasn't like that. I beg your pardon. Yes, it was. You see, the koinonia, the fellowship that they had, it turned the world upside down. And it turned the world upside down because it came from Jesus Christ. And when you love like Jesus Christ, you know, I'm telling you, people are going to want that. Now, I know that to be the truth because these little two eyes have seen it in many, many places. Many places. And you think I'm embellishing. Just call some people. I'll give you some numbers, and you'll see how much I embellish. You don't need to embellish, do you? When you speak the truth, you don't need to embellish. So we are honored to have you tonight. I have a little sermon tonight, and you're saying, oh, here he goes again, a little sermon. I mean, get me out of here, all right? But no, seriously, and it's something to help us to continue to glorify God. We want to give God the glory. Before we start that, I want to tell you this, too. A lot of you, I stand back there in the foyer, vestibule, whatever you want to call it, and a lot of you have come up to me personally and in a quiet manner, and thank you, being very, very kind to me and my son. Thank you for doing that. You're making an impression. I've told you from the onslaught, more is caught than taught. Folks, our children, our grandchildren, people at Walmart, Tasha, how you like that? They're watching us, okay? They're just watching it, and we don't even know they're watching us, but they are, because that's the world we live in. And if that's not happening, he's watching you, and he'll take care of you. Do you want to be taken care of? Can I ask you a personal question right now? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? In the name of Jesus Christ, I might not never see you again, ladies and gentlemen. You might not never see me again. How can I stand in front of an audience and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and not ask you one of the most important questions that needs to be posed to you? Not in a dogmatic way, but with my little rhetoric that I know. And just in a loving way, I ask you, have you been baptized for the remission of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ, our King, our Lord, our Savior? And if you have not been, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Any of these men, myself, any of us would love to baptize you for the glory of Him. So I want you to think about that while we go through these little slides. And if you're here, please don't let Satan keep you back. This is not a tactic. I'm not trying to pressure you. I'm just letting you know that if we close our eyes and we never reopen them, you're going to wish you had. Ladies and gentlemen, we need God. It's time to turn back to God. That's the gist of the gospel. We need God. Let your communications be yes, yes, no, no. For whatsoever is born of this cometh of evil. Jesus will say that, of course, in Matthew 5, verse 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. Jesus would also say that in Matthew 12 and verse 36. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Jesus would say that in Matthew 15, verse 11. Now you think about those passages. James would put it this way, a beloved disciple. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. James 1, verse 19. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. The Apostle Paul would say that in Ephesians 4, verse 29. Think about that. What is my speech, my rhetoric, my voice, my voice box? How am I supposed to be talking in front of people? We are supposed to be letting people know about Christ, are we not? And that's what we have to do. This is something where I have in my past have said things that never should have been said. My children, my friends, they've heard me before say things that, hey, I wasn't embarking, I wasn't enlightening Jesus Christ, I was hurting him. So when you realize that, and you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that we, and by the way, this was not to worldly people, this was to Christian people. We must be careful how we talk because people see this. God knows this. So it humbles me when I can get on my knees and say, God, I'm so sorry to get caught up in, per se, social media, per se, in gossip. Per se, talking about my brothers and my sisters. Per se, talking about you or you talking about me. You see, well, the scriptures I gave you, we are to talk, but we're supposed to value people. Never, ever devalue people. Are you following me? Follow me now. Here we're going to get going here, okay? And it's going to go by very, very quickly. In Galatians 5, in verse 15, we need to be careful that we don't bite and devour one another, that we don't consume one another. Isn't that what Paul told the Galatians there? And then he would go in verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit. I need this Spirit. Why would I want to be baptized into Jesus Christ? I'll tell you one reason is you don't have the Spirit. The Spirit God gives us. But we need that Spirit. We need to feel that love. Sometimes people, husbands and wives, they look great on the outside, but on the inside, you wouldn't believe the turmoil there is. When I tell you I counsel people, I'm not saying it because, hey, I love it, I counsel people. These people, they look great on the outside, and they have everything you can imagine. But the inside is a wreck because they don't have God. Have you ever been there? Ladies and gentlemen, this is something why we have to walk in the Spirit. We have to walk in it. The fruit of the Spirit, you know where it is. You go on down in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love. There it is. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. And against such there is no law. He drops down in verse 25. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's incredible to me. When I think about the joy of the Lord is my strength. The prophet Nehemiah in chapter 8 and verse 10 would say, and I need to be still and know that there is a God. Psalms 46. I need to let God just take me and captivate me. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. When I open this book and when I have this Word of God, it's just, I feel alive. This book has been recovered. The inside of these pages, they're just a few, they're tattered, they're ready to fall out, but I'll tell you, they live. And I'll tell you how they live. They live in me. They live in you. What good is this if you don't display it? What good is it? What good is this if you just put it over there and it's on that shelf? It's under that bed. It's over there, but I'm saving it for my grandson or my granddaughter or whatnot. Even maybe great-great. God never intended that. God wants you to use it. We got to use it and let people understand this is what God wants you to give them. Not your words, His words. So we look at this and we open it and we study and we meditate and we put it in our brains, our little craniums, and we try to learn more and more about God. And then it comes to me. And besides this, giving all diligence out to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to your temperance patience, and to your patience godliness, and unto your godliness brotherly kindness. For if these things be in you and abound, think about this. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and the election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And I get excited about that. And we see that. And we see Peter. And he realized, my life is getting ready to die. But I want to share and depart on my death some words that can turn the world upside down. And guess what, Brian? It did. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. And let's look at that now, because we're going to add to it. We're going to add to it. So here we go. Carolyn Davidson in 1971 was a graphic designer at Portland State University and handed in her invoice of $35. You know what? They said, here what we need, Miss Davis, Carolyn, we need you to find a logo. We're getting some shoes, tennis shoes, and we need you to put a little logo on the side of it. And we want something that was going to catch people's attention. So she gave the invoice of $35. That's what it cost back in the day. Well, by the end of the day, that logo was worth $1 million. And as you know the rest of the story about she was the one that invented the Nike logo to put on the swoosh. And put on, and it just went everlasting, hasn't it, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, $35 to $1 million. This sounds like I'm going to give you some Nike commercial or promotion, but it's not. I'm not here to talk about selling tennis shoes. Not going to do that, but I am here to talk about selling the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to let you know that it's free, though, because he already paid the price. I just want to know if you're interested in it. Do you need the Word of God? Do you want to be baptized tonight for the remission of your sins? Do you want to become a child of the King or a daughter of the King, ladies and gentlemen? In fact, Nike cannot compare to it nor anything else. It can't do it. Spiritual is always over the physical. We said that God is spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth in John 4 and verse 24. We understand that. I need you, God. We also said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. Isaiah 40 verse 31. So we need the words, the ordinances of Jesus, of God, the Father, the Holy Spirit. I need that. So I want to get right to the point in what I'm about to say. In 2 Peter, that we understand, it says, according as the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want it, it's right there. It's in our sword. This is our sword. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. And it will help us. And we need this according to Ephesians 6, verse 10 through verse 18. This is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we take this sword, so I need to take this with me, and we carry it with us wherever. We meditate on it. We think about it, and we love it. because I want my children to see when I'm laying in that casket. Or for God forbid, if a drunk driver hits me, like I buried many of people that drunk drivers have hit, that they are ready to go. Because we don't know when we're going to go, ladies and gentlemen. But we see this and we wonder, oh God, help me, please help me. But it says, whatever you need, it's there. Everything you need, it's there. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, if you are seeking godliness, you can find it. Proverbs 8, verse 17. So we have no excuse. We're looking to glorify God. So the way I glorify God is telling Him, God, I need you. You don't need me. I need you. When we see this, and I see Nike, and I think about what Carolyn Davis, what she said, just do it. And she put that swoosh there. It was unbelievable what happened. It's just unbelievable. Well, as we look at our lives, and when we are baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, and we start the Christian life, ladies and gentlemen, we need one another. We need to help these new converts, not forget about them. We need to take them under our wings, and we need to shelter them. And yes, I'm not saying you live perfect lives. I realize that. I know I don't live a perfect life, but we do the best we can, and we pray for one another, and we show them how much really we love you more than even stuff of this world that we live in. Because there's a lot of stuff. We all know that. You can come to my house and go to my garage, you'll see a lot of stuff. Nothing wrong with stuff, unless the stuff gets in front of Jesus Christ. So I need to just do it. I see the Spirit. Now I got to do it. I got to live in it and walk in it. And that's what we want to try to do, ladies and gentlemen. Now this next slide is going to hurt a lot of people. Now Brian's saying, you're all right. I love it, okay? But the only reason I picked this slide, it could be Virginia or Virginia Tech or whatever, whatnot. But I have it here. I've been to this stadium different times. And I sat back. I've been down to the swamp, to the stadium, and I sat back. I've been down to Georgia Tech, and you sat back. I've been up to Penn State, and you sat back, and you see these thousands upon thousands of people. I've been over to Europe and to the stadiums, where these stadiums, they hold over 100,000. Those stadiums, they hold over 300,000. Can you imagine? And I think about the people, and I say, the continuity is there, and they're just cheering their team on. And when their team is winning, oh my goodness, you would think Jesus is coming. But when they're losing, Satan is running wild. Have you ever been there? I've been to these places, ladies and gentlemen. You have too. We look at our text in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, and then the second part in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 through 10 that we noticed. There it is. Peter says, you do this. You do this. And I'll tell you, you won't believe what will happen in your life. Now, you say, oh, yeah, I'm stepping back. You're a little skeptical or whatnot. Do not be skeptical. You test my spirit. John, 1 John 4, 1. You examine me, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. See if I'm preaching the gospel. If I miscontort these scriptures, let me know. Let me know, because I don't want to mess up these scriptures. In fact, I'm going to be held accountable. Remember what we said in Matthew 12, verse 36? For every idle word. I need to be careful. So watch me, ladies and gentlemen, to have these wonderful truths, we must be constant in application. That's what the verse said there in 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. And I told you earlier this week, diligence. That word in the Greek means constant in application. It's like being a dad. I am constant in application. It's like being a mother, a homemaker, constant in application. It's like holding four jobs down at one time, constant in application. But what about this? How much is my constant in application with this? What about that? Maybe I need to reflect on me and do just that. Reflect on me. Here we go. Do we have virtue? verse 5. Arete, which means excellence. That word in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, virtue, it means praise. Am I doing that? Are you seeking to praise Jesus Christ more than anything else? We understand Matthew 6:33, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I need to put him first, not last, not second, not third, not fourth, first before college, first before high school, first before grade school, first before I'm even alive, first, ladies and gentlemen, before my job. I know God says if you don't work, you don't eat. I know where that scripture is. You know where that scripture is. But I got to put him first. Add to it. See, I want you to see this. We're walking up the rungs. Do you have knowledge? Verse 5, gnosis, which means knowing. Do you know the greatness of God, ladies and gentlemen? Are we willing to seek truth above all else when it comes to spiritual matters? In other words, just say a brother, he thinks something is this way, another brother thinks something is that way. This sister says this, that sister says another thing. But the problem is, we are here to look into the Word, are we not? We're not here to say, this is my opinion, this is my thought, this is my conjecture. I want to tell you, I know someone who knows the truth of the matter. We're always looking to seek truth. Always, whatever it is, I want to seek truth. Thank you for your thoughts and whatnot, but I need the wisdom of God. And Proverbs 1, verse 5, verse 7 says, I know where you can get it. The wisdom of God is what you want, not the wisdom of man. Ladies and gentlemen, we know it says you will know the truth. That truth, as we showed you this week, it will set you, it will make you free. I'll tell you what, add to it. It doesn't stop there. Do you have temperance? Oh, God, help me to have temperance. As a young man, you're looking at me and say, well, you still look young. No, not really, all right? But as a man, okay, I had a problem with this. Oh, boy, did I have a problem with this. And I needed to look and say, you know what, God? I need help. I need help. Akritia, it means self-control. I wasn't in self-control. How in the world, how can I tell you to be in self-control if I'm out of self-control? Can you help me with that? How do you do it? And that's the thing I saw. I saw preachers and they would tell people, you need to be in self-control. And they were completely out of control. I want to tell you all about marriage. One problem, they weren't married. I was saying, sit back, just slow it down. Can you imagine me telling someone to slow down? Okay, calm, okay. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away, you know the rest of the story, anger, wrath. I need this. I need self-control. Brethren, let's be honest here. Do we have control over self? Now watch this, watch this. When it comes to our fleshly nature, example, drinking. I'll tell you what, social drinking is very prevalent. It's very popular. I mean, a lot of people do it. I'm not talking about the people of the world, I'm talking about people of the church. They drink. Do not think it don't have an impact on people. It's killing people. Killing them. And I'm not saying for medicinal purpose either. All right? I think you know where I'm coming from. What about cursing? A lot of people, they curse and they don't think nothing out of it. They just don't. How's it go? Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. James 3, verse 10. I mean, think about that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm giving you the Spirit of God, not the Spirit of Danny. What about looking, gossiping, dressing, hating, wanting, yada, yada, yada? We need to have the Bible. We need to have Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit. I need Romans 13, verse 14. And if I don't have that, ladies and gentlemen, what do I have? I need to depend. I need to seek God more than anything else. And when I look here, and I say, okay, Romans 13, verse 14. And you might say, well, what does that say? So, well, let's just, you know, what I did a long time ago, I looked at it, and I said, okay, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I said, okay, I need that. I need that. Yes, I do. Add to it. Do you have patience? Verse 6, 2 Peter 1, verse 6, huphrovon, which means cheerful or hopeful, endurance. I mean, it's something that is not lacking in your life. People say, are you always happy? Heavens, no, I'm not always happy. Are you always rejoicing? Heaven knows, Do you think I was really rejoicing when they told me your wife has stage 4 breast cancer? I was broken. That's what I was, broken. And I fell to my knees. And I said, God, I need your help. This is too big for me to handle. You, a lot of you, you've been there, ladies and gentlemen. We all know someone with cancer, do we not? Do we not? And what we do is that they need you. They don't need your pity party. They need your love. They need your willingness to tell them about Jesus the Christ. They need that more than medicine itself, folks. So we look at that. And I thought, God, help me to be more cheerful. Help me, just as the Bible would say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let me rejoice. Let me be glad in it, Psalms 118, verse 24. Let my wife know that I love her more than any other lady on the face of this earth. That's what women are wanting. That's what they need. And we need to show it to them. And that's why women are leaving their husbands, because they don't get it at home. That's the fact of life. Ladies and gentlemen, we need God. We need patience. Christians, are you willing to lift up your brother or your sisters when they truly fall, when they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing? They need help. Do you walk away? Do you run away? Do you get away? Or do you go to them and say, look, let me show you what Jesus would do? Why would Jesus, George, why would he go into a leper colony and say, let me help you? Leper colony? Oh my God. Be like people having AIDS. You walk in and you take their hands. Danny, you put a glove on. I don't need no glove. God takes my life, he takes my life. You take that little hand of that little girl. That's just bones. She's laying there. You hold that little hand and you pray, God, heal her. And maybe he can do whatever he wants, but maybe he's going to take that little girl. But more than anything, little girl, you need Jesus or that man. I've been there. We've been there. What are we doing? Luetta, I'll tell you that. Come in here. And I went to put my hand out like this, George. Forget about that. That ain't going to happen. About jerk my arm off, okay? I thought, is it my cologne or what? You know? But seriously, we need love. And I'm not saying that to do it sarcastically and you do it in a ungodly manner. I'm not standing up here saying that. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, the world is not getting enough hugs. I'm not saying to do it in a way where you're drawing attention to yourself. And if you do that, that's always wrong. You're drawing attention to God. I'm telling you, you bear one another's burdens. We need to do this, because I've been there with the alcoholic. And I've seen him, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen him. It's so funny. And the brethren, we're out there and we're along the street. And there he is. And he's walking. And he's a member of the church. But he's drunk. He's drunk. He's laying up against that telephone pole. I tell you, he's not laughing. That little girl's not laughing. That little boy's not laughing. That's their daddy. But because they're addicted and they need help, but no one's willing to help them because we don't know how to help them. Ladies and gentlemen, that Bible will help you more than you ever imagine. Take a good look at me, ladies and gentlemen. Take a good look at me. I've been there where I buried the young women. I have letters in my Bible right there I could read, show you right now of one I did. She couldn't put the bottle down. And in that letter, let me just recap it. I'm sorry, Danny. I'm so sorry I let you down. Let me down. No. You didn't let me down. All these men that has been using you, this pretty little baby, precious girl, But that's not the love the Bible talks about. Ladies and gentlemen, we need one another. Add to it. Do you have godliness? Verse 6, eusebia, which means piety, it means holiness. Be holy because I am holy. 1 Peter 1, verse 16, add to it. Do you have brotherly kindness? Verse 7, Philadelphia, which means fraternal affection, brotherly love, kindness, which means love of the brethren. I mean, it's like we have something. You talk about our continuity. You talk about our togetherness that we have with one another. I'll tell you, some people back there that, in that little room again, you have shared some intimate things with me. And I don't go around and I don't say. I don't tell other people. But I appreciate what you share. And you don't understand how close that can bring truly me and you and me and God. Because we're here to give Him and venerate and honor and to tell Him as we extol Him how much we need you. Are we not? You talk about being sagacious and you talk about all this other stuff, whatever you want to talk about. But we are here to tell God, I need the love of the brethren. Folks, just how close are we with each other? We think about, for God so loved the world in John 3, verse 16. But when you flip over to 1 John 3, verse 16, are you willing to die for your brother or sister? Are you? I don't see a lot of people signing up for that. I just don't see it. But the Bible did. How did Paul say, no, 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 no. I'll do anything. I'll go to hell to save you. You don't think it says that, huh? I can show you book, chapter, and verse. You talk about being separated from God for your life. I'm willing to put my life there because He loved His brethren. See, most men wouldn't be willing to go and preach the gospel and die for their brethren. But when you see someone who is willing to put their life on that chopping block, you know they have something. And that's what we need, ladies and gentlemen. How are you doing? Add to it. Ladies and gentlemen, do you have love, charity? There it is, agape. There's the word. That's the term of this love we're alluding to, which means affection or benevolence. It's the love feast. That's what it was, a love feast, a spiritual love feast. Their love like Christ. Brother, Jesus loved His own until the end. Can you say that on your last day? Could you say you're ready and your time is at hand, ladies and gentlemen, and can you say, I love you until the end? That's exactly what He said. By the way, He said that verbatim. Add to it. Ladies and gentlemen, how could He do it? When the world turned their back, when the apostles, when His disciples turned their back on Him. How can He do it? Because of you. Because of me. Just think about that. And He would say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That condemnation is true. He wasn't saying that to threaten people. He was saying that because He loved people, ladies and gentlemen. How do we set back? We have to be active and we got to move and we got to do the best we can. Now the result of all these wonderful attributes, these characteristics, these virtues, all these wonderful things, ladies and gentlemen, if you do it, think about it, you shall never fall. Now, you know what? I think about that quite a bit. You shall never fall. Oh my goodness. Am I saying that you're not going to have flaws? Am I saying that you're not going to sin? We understand that's not the truth, is it? Because we know we're sinners. We know it's by the grace and mercy of God. We understand that. But I'll tell you one thing, what I am saying, what that's saying, you can do it. You can do it. You see, I have people come to me and say, I just can't do it. I'm not a good enough man, George. I'm just not a good enough man to become a Christian. I'm not a good enough man. Me and Brian was talking about that today. You know what? I'm not either. But I'll tell you, who can make you a good man or a good woman? His name's Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, think about it. You can know for sure. Jesus will be waiting for you. 2 Peter 1:11, 2 Timothy 4:8, 1 John 5:13. And I could give you a plethora of more verses on this. You can know for sure. Get it? Got it? Now we must do it. You see, that's what we must do, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, that Nike, oh yes, millions and millions and now billions and billions. But I have another logo that's even better than that. And you know what we call it? Jesus. Jesus. And I just think, all I need to do is just do it. That's what I need to do. Just do it. Oh, yes. By the way, I forgot something. When I flipped through my Bible that I love, I just walked through it. Telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I ought to do something and say, call me out a verse and I'll let me quote it for you. I ought to do that. But you see, some people would get the wrong impression of me. They would say, oh, you just think you're boasting and whatnot. Why do you need to boast when you walk in the Lord? The problem is, it's the people who boast who don't know the Lord. Because what we do is we give our life to Him. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When I open this Bible, and I've sat there, and I was right back there with you all, and I'm listening to that preacher, and I would think, man, that guy's good. Or that lady, she's smart, when I would hear women, and they would be talking, and just the comments they would make in the auditorium in a godly way, not worshiping, in our Bible class. And I would think, boy, that lady. And I saw that smile on her face, and the smile on that man. I thought, man, one day I want that. More is caught than taught. Okay? Because I've been the other place. I've been the other way. When I see this in 2 Peter, and I see the Bible, and I think, wow, this is just too good. For so an entrance shall be given to, shall be ministered to, unto you abundantly, abundantly. That's me. Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want that. I want you to ask yourself right now, what would hold you back from not coming to Jesus Christ? Is it me? Come to me, and I'll repent before you. Let it be me, but don't ever, ever let it be Him. I'm not worthy. He is. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Thank you so much. Please come as we stand and as we sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood?